Live from the NAI studios in the heart of Boston, Massachusetts, it's Late Night Liam with Liam Stryker. On tonight's show, the latest information regarding the Captain Marvel movie, thoughts on the new Aladdin trailer, and much, much more. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the star of the show, Liam Stryker!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into another edition of Late Night Liam. I am your host, Liam Stryker, joined as always by the one and only, the lovable, the huggable, the incomparable Bill Neville. How you doing, my friend?
Hello, Liam Stryker. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Messed up
the
open there.
I was going to say, you read an old copy.
I did. I left the top line in the old copy.
Yeah, right.
Whoops.
That makes sense. Whoopsie daisy.
The latest information regarding Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland and Disney World. I read half of that.
Yeah, and then you were and like, I was and like, then wait Captain a minute. Marvel. And then it was like, oh, well, we already did that. It's already out. There can't be more information.
Whoops. It's live, baby.
So, what's going on, man? What's new? You got a Switch.
I did, and I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Yeah, you celebrated Mario Day.
Yes. Mario had games that were on sale, and for some weird reason, they were selling out, and they weren't physical copies.
That's the funniest part about that. So, Nintendo doesn't officially put their stuff on sale, right?
Which is stupid.
And it's weird. It's weird.
Especially if you're going to tweet out and celebrate Mario Day.
Right. Just also cut out the middleman, you dummies.
Right.
So, you had to purchase a digital code through, like, Amazon, Best Buy, Walmart, Target,
right.
One of those type of deals.
Right.
And I was trying to find it because I was late to the party. I didn't realize that was a thing that was happening. And so Bill goes, oh, did you hear about this? This is a thing that's happening. I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to try and get it. And all of the digital copies were sold out.
It's out of stock. It's like, how do you run out of digital copies?
How do you run out of
digital? They must have like a stock that Nintendo sells them or something.
I don't know.
Because Amazon was sold out, Walmart was sold out, but then you ended up getting it through Best Buy.
Right. It could have been one of those situations where they have to enter a number.
Right.
So
yeah.
They sold out of that number.
Sure.
That
makes sense.
That had to have been what it was.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that logically makes sense to me is that you can't, like, you have to set the inventory to something.
Yeah.
And they just set the inventory too low.
Just always found it weird that, like, it didn't say, like, currently unavailable. It said out of stock.
Yeah, right.
Just made no sense that a digital version would be out of stock.
It's very odd.
Yeah. But I ended up getting Super Mario U Deluxe.
Yep.
And
so
God, what the hell is the
other
one?
Did you get Odyssey?
Odyssey, thank you.
Yeah, I had already
had
Odyssey.
I had a wicked brain fart there.
I had Odyssey already. So.
Yeah, yep. So I haven't played Odyssey yet, but I'm loving U Deluxe.
U Deluxe is
love
so
it.
Fun. I love all those 3D, 2D Mario games.
Mm-hmm.
They're real fun.
A couple of levels are real hard, though.
Yeah.
Because it starts out easy. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can get used to this. And all of a sudden, I'm like dying left and right. And it's like, oh, geez.
It's been really funny. I've been watching them play on the Game Grumps.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've been playing it. And it's funny because I don't know where they went, but they somehow, like, went the fast way.
Oh, yeah?
And so they, like, beat the game very, very quickly.
Oh,
and
that's
now,
no fun.
Yeah, no, but now they're going back and, like, playing all of the worlds that they didn't beat.
Gotcha.
And it's just like, how did you miss, like, a fourth of the game?
Yeah.
Like, how did...
How many worlds are there, do you know?
I have no idea.
Because I think I'm on, like, the fifth or sixth one now.
Yeah.
That's, not sure.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know which they are. I'm still on world one.
Okay.
Because I downloaded it, and then I had to go to a New Hampshire food bank.
Oh, fun.
So basically the thing I was doing yesterday was I was doing a fundraiser for the New Hampshire Food Bank. And what they end up doing is, like doing an episode of Iron Chef or like Chopped.
Okay.
And so it's fun. It's a fun charity event. And if you have a food related charity, I would highly recommend basically doing that because it's a ton of fun. And Chef Alex Giardelli or whatever the hell her name is. She's the MC of the night.
Okay.
So she comes in and it's really fun. It's a really, really fun event. But I always find it so ironic that this is a huge gala event for the New Hampshire Food Bank and like a half to three quarters of the food doesn't get eaten.
That's so crazy.
You know what I mean? Like
it's counterproductive.
It's counterproductive and it just shows you how much like, look, I'm sometimes a terrible person. Here, there you go, internet. You've found my secret.
Uh-oh.
But it's just like, yeah, you're a bunch of assholes at this charity event to like end food insecurity, which is what you call it. And it's like, yeah. And so instead of just paying to watch this episode of Chopped or whatever, you're going to have this very, very expensive dinner with lobster ravioli.
Yeah.
And half of you aren't going to eat it. And it's like,
everything's going to go to waste.
Yeah. You're just here to be seen.
Sure.
You're here to be seen.
Yeah.
You don't actually care about the New Hampshire Food Bank,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's a thing that just irks me.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. It just irks me a little bit about that. So, but yeah, otherwise the event's super fun. It's really good. It's for a good cause. So, you know, it's all those positives.
I used to work with the Boston Food Bank a lot, and it's always pretty rewarding to kind of help those guys out.
Yeah, right. It's always good to help people. I mean, gala events are stupid.
Yes.
Right? But like,
yes, all those gala events are just dumb.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. So, you know what's also stupid?
What?
Is the internet.
I agree.
As we broadcast live onto it and scream into its void.
Thanks, Internet.
Yeah, thanks, Internet. You're stupid. I'd go back to school. But the thing that the Internet was raving about a couple of weeks ago when the trailer for Aladdin dropped.
Oh, they were shitting all over it.
Was how prematurely you were all freaking out about Aladdin.
Ugh.
And the genie, more specifically, and how dumb the genie looks.
The ups and downs of this whole, like, this whole ordeal with Aladdin have been just insane.
You're right.
When that Entertainment Weekly images came out of Will Smith dressed as a genie, but he was like, looked like normal Will Smith.
Right.
People were freaking out then. And then
yeah,
the CGI genie.
He's not
genie,
blue.
Right, right. He's not blue. And then the CGI blue genie comes out. It's like, oh, God, that looks awful.
Yeah.
And then this trailer comes out today, and people are like, oh, this actually looks good.
Yeah.
It's like, get off my bandwagon.
Yeah, stop
it. I've been looking forward to this.
I think we've been very consistent on this show.
Yeah.
Where it was like, I looked at that genie, and he was far too blue. Right?
Sure.
I do believe it. But that wasn't the re- like, I was never not going to go see that movie.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I was going to, I didn't like how Lumiere looked.
Also, you know what? Another thing that drives me nuts about the people criticizing the Disney live action remakes.
What?
Is people who are using the claim that they love the original and this is going to ruin it for them.
How?
It's like, that doesn't change the original movie at all.
Yeah, how?
The original movie's still going to exist. It's still going to be one of your favorite movies of all time.
Right.
This movie will not ruin the original for you.
Yeah, I don't see any, like, sometimes I like to joke because it's a funny thing to joke and it's, like, the thing to say. But it's, like, if Space Jam 2 comes out with LeBron James, that's not going to, quote unquote, ruin my childhood.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
Michael Jordan in Space Jam 1 was fun and I enjoyed it. Yeah. There might be a chance that Space Jam 2 is good. There's also a chance that Space Jam 2 is bad. And if it's bad, it's a bad movie.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't. There's not some weird law that we have that it's just like, well, if the sequel's bad or the remake is bad,
it's all bad.
We can't watch the original anymore.
Right.
Because that's not, like, the other thing is that's not how, like, nostalgia and feelings work.
Right.
Right? You don't watch something new that's based off of something else you like.
Yeah.
And go, wow, now I can't watch that thing I really enjoyed.
It's
usually
ridiculous.
Usually it goes the opposite way, and it goes, wow, I really need to watch that thing that I enjoy.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, if the Aladdin, if Beauty and the Beast was bad, the reaction wouldn't be, well, now I can't watch Beauty and the Beast anymore. The animated one.
Well, some people do have that reaction, which is crazy.
How? Who?
You're crazy.
Who? They're liars.
Yes.
They're goddamn
You're right.
liars.
You're right.
Because it's true. It's like, no, I need to watch that original one. Because I hate people.
Yep.
I do.
The worst.
I hate people and I hate the internet.
They're absolutely the worst.
You know, they're the people that get mad about the dumbest things.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people that go onto Facebook groups and ask how their child, there's been a, like, their child is an anti-vax, they're an anti-vaxxer parent.
Oh, jeez.
And they didn't vaccinate their child, so they
got measles.
No, there's like a measles threat or something at the school, and they go, how do I prevent my child from having measles? And it's like, I don't know, the vaccine the doctors made, you dumb person.
crazy.
You dumb, dumb person. I don't care. Fight me. Anti-vaxxers are stupid.
They are stupid.
They're stupid. I'm going to fight you on that one.
It's proven that vaccines work.
Well, it's your argument.
Look at polio.
Yeah. My grandfather had polio.
Yeah.
Right? Like my grandfather.
Nobody has polio anymore.
Nobody has polio anymore. My grandfather had polio. Right? Actually had it. One leg shorter than the other. Had to walk on crutches his entire life.
Yeah.
Right? And my grandfather would tell you that if he could have had a shot to make him not have polio, yeah, he would have.
Yep.
He would have taken that.
100%.
Because that's how that works. That's how disease works.
Yep.
You know how we don't have the bubonic plague anymore?
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of more natural vaccine, but that's neither here nor there.
Even measles.
Measles.
Measles is almost completely gone.
Right.
Ebola.
Ebola. Yeah.
Mumps.
Mumps. Mumps is funny because you get like a
rubella.
Really?
Chicken pox.
Oh, chicken pox. I had chicken pox.
Yeah.
You get chicken pox and then...
Yeah. And then there's a vaccine against it, though.
It's not that bad. What is it? I think I'm more at risk to have shingles now.
Ooh.
I don't know what shingles are, but...
The thing's under
hopefully,
roof.
Hopefully I can put it on my roof.
Liam's rocking with the jokester.
I'll be here for another 45 minutes.
We will?
No.
We're going to talk about Captain Marvel for that long?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Captain Marvel.
Are we doing spoiler-free?
You know what?
Or are we going to give a warning?
I think what we'll do is we will talk about it as much as we can, and if we run into some spoiler stuff, we'll run into some spoiler stuff. I think there's only one spoiler. There's two spoiler things. One that is in the main plot of the movie that we might touch on.
Okay.
Because I find it to be very interesting, and then... I think that just the end credits scene.
Sure, yeah.
So we'll just hold that to the end. We'll say goodbye to those people, and then we'll do the spoiler last 10 minutes.
Cool.
Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
So let's just jump into Captain Marvel, the latest out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, heading the last stop before Endgame. What'd you think?
What was that voice?
I don't know. That was my Marvel announcery voice.
That was like 1940s Marvel announcer.
Yeah.
Now, last stop here before Endgame.
And now, last stop for Endgame.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
How about you?
I loved it. I was very, very interested to see how everything was going to shape up. This is a period piece, so it definitely takes place before all of the Iron Man stuff and everything.
Yep.
And so it was going to be very interesting to see how they tied everything in. I am so pumped, so, so pumped for what's it called? The Irishman now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because part of the thing that they did was Samuel L. Jackson was basically de-aged via the same technology that they're going to use for the Irishman.
And I knew that going in, and I couldn't notice it.
Right. It was
that good.
It was so good. He looked great. And the best part was is it wasn't like something that could take you out of it. Like,
right.
We watched it together, Rogue One.
Yep.
And Carrie Fisher, while people were like, they ruined the movie. And I think,
no, it, God damn it.
And
people.
I think that they're dumb.
You're so dumb.
Yeah. And I think that they're dumb. But it was a little jarring, right? Like, I don't think it was perfect.
Sure.
You know, so her like...
You also knew that she was dead.
Yeah, there was also that. But I thought it was a little jarring, right? That being said.
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson was not jarring.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he was very, very well done. And Coulson, for that matter, too, were both very, very well done. So,
right.
You know, now looking forward to The Irishman, where they're basically going to use that same technology to de-age all of those gentlemen. I'm 100% on board.
Sure, yeah.
I am so on board because that looks so good. So it'll be really cool to see what that is. But it felt like a Phase 1 movie to me. It felt like this was clearly should have belonged in Phase 1. We were getting to know this character.
Yeah.
Getting to understand a lot of her world and a lot of her world building.
Mm-hmm.
So the pacing was a little slow. I'm also not a super big fan of amnesia stuff.
Okay.
Just because it's like, it's such a weird crutch and so done to death at this point,
mm-hmm.
That I was just like, yeah, whatever we could, you know, I can take and leave the, that stuff.
Sure.
And then, I thought that it was very important because if you look at all of these movies And, you know, I've been rewatching all of them, but you look at them, and the first one is the weakest, except for Thor: The Dark World, which is just the worst Marvel movie.
Yeah, I didn't even watch it.
Yeah, it's the worst one.
I was told to skip over.
Yeah, just skip over it. It's not worth it. It is the worst one. But the point is that all of the first ones were just getting to feel the characters, whereas in the sequels, we get their personalities to shine through.
Right, right.
You know, Captain America's interpersonal dynamics with everybody feel a lot better in Winter Soldier, which is sure. one of the best ones,
yep.
and later in like Civil War and ultimately all of the Avengers movies. Iron Man is best when he's interacting with the other people. Iron Man 1 is good, but it's not great.
Mm-hmm.
Not by the rest of the
yeah,
standards.
2 is definitely the best one.
2 is the best one of that out of those 3. But you look at it, and that's the reasoning. So Captain Marvel, we had to get a lot of that stuff. We had to introduce the Kree. We had to introduce the Skrulls. We had to introduce Sam Jackson. The one pet peeve that I have about the movie, which I find to be super-duper annoying, is that Nick Fury just calls it S.H.I.E.L.D. from Jump.
Okay.
And Coulson, in Iron Man the entire time, keeps calling it Strategic Homeland Intervention Logistics Division.
Where does that fall as far as Iron Man and Captain Marvel, which takes place in 1995?
So, chronologically, the movies take place in order of Captain America, Captain Marvel, Iron Man 1.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. So they're calling it S.H.I.E.L.D. before...
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Because it's a big plot point in number one that every time Coulson introduces himself, he introduces himself as an agent of the Strategic Homeland Intelligence Logistics Division.
Gotcha.
And Pepper Potts keeps being like, man, that's a mouthful. And he's like, yeah, we're working on something. And then at the end, he's like, oh, call us S.H.I.E.L.D. And it's just like... Okay, yeah, that was fun. That was fun for the pop that we got.
Sure.
But Fury in this movie just keeps referring to it as S.H.I.E.L.D., and that was a little bit of a nerd pet peeve of mine,
uh-huh.
but not a you know not something that was going to take away from the movie at all. There was something that happened that I thought was very interesting later on. I thought the characters were really, really fun. There was I thought Jude Law did a great job.
He was good. I enjoyed his character.
Jude Law was really good. And then Carol Danvers' like friend.
Oh yeah, I can't remember her name.
Yeah, the pilot lady.
Yeah,
the one
with the daughter.
The one with the daughter, and so there's just so much fun. There's just so many fun things that are happening in that movie, that it was really solid. It explained why she hasn't been here, which is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a good explanation to keep her away from this. And then even Ronan the Accuser from the Guardians movies.
Yeah.
He was in this, you know. So they tied a lot of stuff in that I thought was very, very well done.
It was cool. The woman's name was Maria Rambeau.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Rambeau. That was right.
Like, how could I forget that?
Yeah. The best, most accurate name for anybody ever in this was Goose the Cat.
Yeah.
Goose the Cat, because Goose from Top Gun, which is one of the best movies ever made, mm-hmm. starring Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer, who is my favorite Batman because he's got pouty lips. I thought I'd share that with you.
That's why?
Yeah.
That's the reason?
Yeah, Ben Affleck's actually my favorite Batman.
I was going to say.
Followed very closely by Adam
pouty
West.
Pouty lips, Val Kilmer.
Look, here's the thing. Quickly, before we dive into the spoilers of Captain Marvel, my ranking of Batman is Ben Affleck, Adam West, Val Kilmer, and then what's his name in the Tim Burton ones? Michael Keaton?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then George Clooney. And Christian Bale is above Keaton. No.
Yo, he's definitely above Keaton.
Yeah, he's above Keaton.
He's definitely above Keaton.
He's above Keaton. Yeah. But Adam West is number 2, and that will never change.
No.
Because Adam West is my favorite Batman. 1966 is the best. I love it. But... Now, we're going to go into spoiler territory of Captain Marvel.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
So, spoiler alert, That beat is hot. That is a hot beat, Bill.
You like that?
Yeah. Holy crap. What the hell was that? Where did you...
I found that the other day because I figured we were gonna talk Captain Marvel, and I was like, I'm going to find a spoiler alert sound.
Well, you found the perfect one, Bill.
Right?
You're very good at what you do.
I know.
Very, very good at what you do. So it's just going to be very interesting. So we're going to talk about spoilers for Captain Marvel now. What was the biggest surprise of the movie for you?
Biggest surprise as far as what goes.
But
what do you mean?
As far as did anything stick out to you or surprise you in the movie?
Not really. The technology seemed a little further ahead than what I was expecting for a movie based in 1995.
Yeah.
But as far as the movie itself goes, nothing really shocked me. The best part, the biggest spoiler, I guess, would be the mid-credit scene.
Yeah.
For me.
So there is one that before the mid-credit scene, because we're going to talk about that because that's a big plot point for me.
Sure, yeah.
Is the Skrulls. So in the Marvel comic book universe, so like this has been what's been my favorite part as a fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that I am familiar enough with all of these stories that I know what's going to happen. But they change them in such a way that it keeps me on my toes as a fan of this universe, right? And of this company. And so in the comic books, the Kree are the altruistic good guys. And the Skrulls are the altruistic bad guys. I don't know if the altruistic's the right word. But
it works.
You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're the ultimate bad guys. And so it was very interesting to have them be the sympathetic figures in this movie out of nowhere. Where it's like all of a sudden it's just like, look, man, we just want to get away from the Kree.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to kill us and they're trying to exterminate us. And like we don't want none.
Yeah, the whole time he was interacting with Rambo and Carol Danvers on Earth, or C-53, I guess they would call it.
Yeah.
And then when they got back up to space and they were with their family and stuff, I was just fully expecting the heel turn.
I was too, the entire time. The entire time, because the Skrulls end up, you find out that like the big bad guy that you've been led to believe is like the biggest and the baddest.
Right.
Right? The whole point is that he basically is trying to find his family.
Right,
and
exactly.
And then because the Captain Marvel, who is the lady that has been building this technology on Earth, is trying to find him a new home. You know, and it's like, wow, this is very different than anything that I've been led to believe.
Sure, yeah.
So I'm very interested to see what comes of that, because ultimately the movie ends and we have Carol Danvers, a.k.a. Miss Marvel, flying off to help find the Skrulls, find a new planet.
Right.
And so it's very interesting to see what is happening with that, because while that's an explanation as to how to get her away from the MCU or like the rest of the main continuity on Earth and like have to not deal with all of that, it's going to be very interesting to see what she was fucking doing with them.
Right, exactly.
So
as far as me not being very well versed with the comic stories in the background of Captain Marvel, when I saw the Captain Marvel trailer and she beat up the old lady on the bus.
Right.
I asked you guys, I asked other people, and they're like, oh, she's a Skrull. They're shapeshifters. So with me seeing Captain Marvel beating up this evil old lady on the bus, I immediately associate them with being bad guys.
Right.
So the entire time, I was waiting for them to be the bad guys.
Well, and somebody that knows what the deal is, I was waiting for it too.
Yeah.
You know, and good on them for sticking to those guns and kind of changing everything up. And like I said, you're making these movies so well and have such an idea of what you're doing that it's all going to tie in well together. And another thing that is very interesting is it ultimately takes off the end of Endgame for me.
Sure.
Right? Captain Marvel did two things. It took away what I thought the ending of Endgame was going to be, and it also calmed my nerves about what the majority of the plot was going to
be. Sure, yeah.
Right? So the thing with the Skrulls, I thought, much like everybody else, I thought Secret Invasion was next.
Yeah.
And Secret Invasion is where the Skrulls have infiltrated the entire planet Earth, and they've started taking over heroes and taking over their powers. So much so that, you know, all of the ways to detect a Skrull don't work on these people. Right? And that's how deep in cover they are.
Sure.
And so what ends up happening in that comic book storyline is the Skrulls end up taking over so much, and it puts everything in such a flux that there's this one final showdown, and it ultimately leads into something really cool where Norman Osborn, the Green Goblin, he ends up killing the Skrull Queen.
Oh, wow.
And taking control because nobody trusts Tony Stark. Huh. And because it was like, Tony, you were supposed to be the guy in charge here, and you let all of these Skrulls infiltrate our planet. Like, what the hell, man?
Sure.
And look at, and the only person doing something is Norman Osborn. So we're going to give him all the power. And, like, obviously he's the Green Goblin, and everybody, all the heroes are like, well, that's a terrible idea, because he's the Green Goblin. And they're like, don't worry, he's on medication or something, so it's okay. And Spider-Man's just like, are you sure? Because we've tried that before. And everybody's just like, don't worry about it. Ultimately, they did have to worry about it, but that's a story for another day. But so that is very interesting, because that might not be how Endgame ends now.
Right.
That the Skrulls are the bad guys and have been infiltrating everybody the entire time. So who knows? And then the other side to that is I was worried, if anybody saw the Justice League movie. In the Justice League movie, they spent the entirety of the film trying to get Superman. They were like, Steppenwolf is going to show up, and he's a bad, bad man, and we're screwed if we don't have Superman. So we need to figure out how to get Superman back, and we'll figure that out. And so then they or spend the entire movie trying to get Superman, and then Superman shows up in the last 5 minutes and beats the bag out of Steppenwolf, and the movie's over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, this seems like a bad thing that, like, you had a bunch of heroes, and if Superman was here the whole time, we wouldn't have had a movie.
Right, exactly.
And so I think, you know, I'm not in the minority of this, where it was like, I was kind of worried that, like, the entire movie was going to be like, we got to find Captain Marvel. That girl's really powerful, huh? And then basically they spend the entire movie trying to search for Captain Marvel, and then she shows up at the end and does some weird thing and ends up saving the universe because she just showed up at the end. And that would have been really disappointing. But that mid-credit scene dispelled all of those rumors.
Yeah, man, I popped so hard for that.
I'm going to throw in another spoiler alert. One, because the beat is so banging. And two, because I just want to make sure that this is like the super duper spoiler.
Spoiler alert!
Oomphia! This is my jam! I jam in the club all the time to this! Yes. All right. Thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to be safe, because some idiot's going to like be like, oh, that wasn't so bad, and then just be mad that I like spoiled this mid-credit scene.
Just one more time, you got to yell it from the rooftops in 3, 2, 1.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Alert, 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 alert. All right, now you've been warned.
You've been warned. So I thought that the mid-credit scene the entire time was going to be the reverse of the Avengers Endgame one.
Okay.
Right? Where at the, not Endgame, Infinity War, where Nick Fury gets out of his car, sees everything, you know, going to shit, and then basically, like, pages Captain Marvel from there. And then so I thought that it was going to be her on whatever planet she ends up finding for the Skrulls, and it's like, time has passed, and she shows up, and she just, like, gets the pager, and she gets the alert from Nick Fury. And that's like how you.
That's it.
And it's like, oh, I gotta go. And that wasn't it at all.
No.
It was Captain America being like, well, everything's fucked and this is terrible.
Yeah.
And everybody's just like,
Black
yeah.
Widow.
Black and, Widow and War Machine.
And
Hulk. Oh, yeah. And Bruce Banner.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And they're all just standing there being like, wow, this is all terrible. Everything about this bad, terrible, awful. And so They're just like, I don't know what this pager is, but it was Nick Fury's. He was trying to reach somebody. So hopefully they get through. And then I was like, oh, that's going to be kind of lame if, like, we don't get anything and we just have them, like, trying to, like, actively call her. And then that lady just showed up and she was like, what's going on? Where's Nick Fury? And it's just like, oh, I popped so hard. I popped so hard, Bill. Yeah,
I want to just go watch that scene again.
I know. I do, too.
Forget the movie. I just want to go watch that scene again.
I have enough, like, I can go to the movie free apps
right
now.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to keep going to the movies for free, Bill.
Yep. I hear you, buddy.
But the... I have it on a piece of paper right over there. Showcase,
especially
subscribe.
That Showcase Subscribe.
Showcase Subscribe. Not the one that I pay for.
Three movies a month starting at $16.95.
Yeah, Bill's crushing it on the live read that we don't have for this show. But we can. We could do it. We'd be whores for it, you know.
Hopefully, I'll be whore for anything.
Oh, tell me about it. I want, you know, imagine if we like got to go to like a convention that's in Southern California.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. And like it was all paid for.
Warm weather. Close to Disneyland.
Bill, I can't tell you how much I've thought about that. That if we just like happen to go to some place in July,
yeah,
that there would be a thing open in July.
I know.
Or at least opening enough so that we might be able to do a press thing.
I know.
Because unlike WWE, press credentials are easier to find other places.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see how that works out. But Captain Marvel shows up behind Black Widow.
Yep.
And it's just like, where's Nick Fury? So my favorite thing has to be that this is at the very, very least, they've had a conversation so that, much like Avengers, the first one, we just start Endgame and everybody's up to speed.
Right, exactly.
Right? Because in theory, Captain America then looks at it and goes, lady, who the hell are you? And then she goes, I'm Captain Marvel. This is who I am. And he goes, well, I'm Steve Rogers, and this is who I am. So strap in, because we got to go fight Thanos. And she's like, who's Thanos? It's like, it's not important. Let's go figure it out. And then Ant-Man shows up, and it's like, what? Why? You're supposed to be dead. What is happening? Spider-Man doesn't feel good. We got to get him to Pepto-Bismo. Let's make it happen.
It's amazing.
And that's going to be the entirety of Endgame.
I can't wait.
Spike trying to find Spider-Man and give him Pepto-Bismo so he feels better.
See, what are we, 6 weeks away?
Yeah.
Roughly? It's April 26th?
Yeah.
Can't wait.
It's going to be great.
Thank God we don't have to wait a year for this.
I know. They're really good at what they do. So, I think that's going to be it. Anything else you want to say before we get on out of here?
No, I think we're good.
Go buy a Nintendo Switch so you can play.
Yeah, play with us.
Stuff with us, because we got to get you Smash Brothers and play Smash Brothers.
Okay.
Because that'll be fun.
Deal.
So, all right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Late Night Liam. I have been Liam Stryker, joined, as always, by the one and only Bill Neville. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can follow me at New Age at LiamFanAI, Bill Neville at Bill Neville AI, the main account at New Age Insiders. Follow everything we got going on at www.newageinsiders.com. Follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. Sign up for the Patreon. Sign up for Twitch Prime. We got all sorts of nonsense happening. We got shows coming all the time. Sign up for the Patreon. We got Be Heard coming very, very soon.
Oh, yeah.
The show that you control. So, you know, get your questions in.
We'll
answer anything. Like what I'm talking about when I talk about Southern California and why I'm going back to Cali. So thank you very much. And we have been the premier place for fans of all kinds to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
Good night, everybody.